Welcome to Destiny Spirit Church.
He and his wife and son have moved here from Maryland, where they used to attend CI Church in Baltimore. And Paul and Ann were part of the elders there at that church. They were also doing a lot of ministry there. And Austin, their son, is a student at Regent. And so they moved down the street from me. We become neighbors here. And so anyway, since I had the seminar all this week and all day long today, and I had thought about that, I'm going to think I better have somebody else come minister, because I'm also preaching tomorrow night in Smithfield. And so I've had some, I know it's been like a long, but anyway, it's been good. And so anyway, I asked Paul if he would come, if he would bring the word tonight. And so he agreed that he would. And so here you go. And it's about 8:15. You have about an hour or so. Okay.
Praise God. Yeah, can you put this, first this. Just put it on real low. That's background for now. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Donna. I appreciate it. This is a privilege. And I'd just like to open with prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to bring the word that you want, that this would be you speaking to us through me. And we thank you, Lord, that we have had a time of communion with you and your presence is here. And we thank you, Lord, that there are signs and wonders following the saints around in this church. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So if Chloe can see angels, we can, yeah. This is inspiration, yeah. I think the Lord sometimes has a sense of humor when he wants to show us the little ones, because I believe they just came out of heaven, so they're so close to it. You know, it's like they're still seeing it, you know. And then somewhere along the way, we kind of get earth vision, you know. As Donna said, our family has just recently relocated. This is my wife, Ann. You want to say that? And my son, Austin.
Hi.
And Austin was the main reason we came down here. We just prayed and asked the Lord if we all should go or should he go to college. And the Lord says, you're all relocating. You're going to another mountain and I have some new things for you. And so step out in faith. And so this has been a real step of faith for us. We've been living up in another area for 30 years. So this is an adventure with God. And so I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share, and I'm going to share some of our adventure with the Lord. I've been saved. I got saved at 41, so I was a long time unsaved and had a lot of adventures with the world. But then since then, I've been saved. It's going to be 20 years this July. So I've had a long journey with the Lord as well, and it's been exciting. So the message tonight is God wants you fat. And I don't mean like this kind of fat. He wants you faithful, available, and teachable. So it's an acronym, FAT. Okay, so this God has a sense of humor there. To say, okay, Lord, we're gonna talk about fat tonight. Yeah. So I wanted to start off with. Could you turn that up a moment? I want to start off with a. This is a little story that illustrates our walk with the Lord. It's just a little brief story. I got this from a counselor, and it's kind of going through the stages of before you know the Lord, and then getting your eyes open with salvation, and then starting to see, and then really knowing the Lord's love in your life. And so it's kind of a little vignette. I walk down the street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. Now, in Proverbs 26:27, it says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. And in Proverbs 28:10 it says, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good things. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. And I get out immediately. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Proverbs 12:21 says, no real harm befalls the good, but there's a constant trouble for the wicked. I walk down another street. Proverbs 15:21, if a man enjoys folly, something's wrong. The sensible stay on the pathways of right. I go back to that street. I take the necessary measures to fill in the hole on that street to help prevent someone else from falling into that hole. Proverbs 14:20, even his own neighbors despise the poor man, while the rich have many friends, but to despise the poor is to sin. Blessed are those who help them. So this is a good illustration. I've been in the pit. I think we've all been there. The thing is to break the habit and then to go and help prevent somebody else. So I'd like to share some of my personal walk with the Lord as we also look at some of the teachers that come into our life. I feel that Donna is now my apostolic teacher. And I've seen her releasing people to teach. I understand Laura and others, Vicki, were preaching. So she's given me an opportunity to be here. So she's an apostle because she's helping us to all step out a little further than we want to sometimes. Yeah. And release us into things that are good for us to do, which is to stretch us past our comfort zone. So in our walk, you know, the one major problem with America, think about all the problems we have, but there's one major problem. It's doubt and unbelief, and it's in the church. It's really sad. So the beginning of where we have to start out with is belief. We first have to believe. In Mark 1:14-15, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the definition of believe is accept as true, give faith to, receive Christ, put one's trust in. So we have to trust in something. Why not Jesus? The world doesn't seem to be very trustworthy these days. So this is where we start. In Romans 1:16-17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're to exercise our faith, live by it, and put it in Jesus. Now, when we discover that truth, Jesus died for my sins, that's your point of salvation. That's when you make a decision. This is my sins. He died for my sins. It's personal. And you, all of a sudden you have a Savior, someone who is taking the place for you so you don't have to die for your sins and take the judgment. And that's John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see Jesus as the only way. I was in New Age, and it was like, oh, there's many ways. And that was a lie from the pit of hell. And I was falling for it. I was following a guru who was going to take me to a cliff and then push me off. Say, bye, see you later. I was deceived, even though I had an intelligence and I had eyes, but my spiritual eyes were not open. I was following somebody. It's like the blind leading the blind, as they say, you know. So we have to be careful who we're following and where they're taking us. Some of the aspects of the supernatural that Donna has been teaching on the last few weeks, I wanted to bring them out as we go through these stages. This one is Jesus was fully God, yet fully man in the flesh. That goes beyond my peanut brain. I don't understand how it can be both, but he was. He was man, but he was still God. And the other part of that is when he left and he sent the Holy Spirit, God dwells in me. He dwells in you. The God of the universe who created everything lives in me. I don't understand that either, but I receive it. I receive it by faith. And so this is the supernatural aspects of our salvation. It's exciting, but it's mind-boggling. Now, at this point in my life, when I first got saved, you know, we get full of zeal and we want to do things for the Lord and you want to tell everybody. You know, you just get you're that new believer, you know. And it's exciting to see new believers as they start out their path. And my first teacher was a lady named Sister Rita. And she had been on mission trips. She had done some clowning and puppetry and things like that. And so she was in this church and she said, why don't we do gospel clowning? And I'm like, you want me to be a clown? Put on makeup, put on an outfit. I had orange hair and had big feet and, you know, a big tie and a jacket. And I was Sunshine the Clown. And my wife was Twinkle. But we stepped out in faith and we were zealous. And we said, oh, we can reach out and go out away from the church and go to like shelters and go to places where children are and reach them as a clown, but bring them the gospel, bring them the message of God, and be excited about it. And they'll be excited because you're a clown. You know, and they don't know who you are, so you can get away with a lot of stuff as a clown. So I got to be goofy and funny, and we did mime and those kinds of things. It was really neat. One really good aspect of this is my son was Austin. He was 3 at the time, so every time we did gospel clowning, he'd come forth and he'd pray. So he got saved over and over and over. And he was really saved, you know. I mean, he started, I believe this, you know. And he started seeing angels and he started doing things, and he said, supernatural opened up to him, gifts of God were coming in. So we also got to go to one, this was, I think, a Catholic charities run homeless shelter. But at the time, they had children that were being relocated from Kuwait, and they went in Baltimore, and they put them in this shelter. And we were scheduled to come as a gospel clown outreach, you know, to the shelter to reach the children. And so I made sure, because these are Muslim children, I'm telling the parents, we're going to tell them about Jesus. And they go, yeah, it's fine, it's okay, you know. And they just give them to the kids. And so here we are, presenting to the Muslim children of Kuwait in a shelter in Baltimore that you're going to become a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom of God, and let's praise God and wave banners and march around for Jesus and sing songs. And they just joined in and they did this. And here I am, I was like, wow, I'm ministering to kids from Kuwait here. So I'm going out to see all the world, you know. I said, the world's coming to me. And I thought that was neat that God arranged that during that time. So I had my adventures in doing all that, and it was good. The Lord was gracious to us and helped us to step out of our comfort zone. I mean, I don't know if anybody here has to become a clown, but we can become fools for Jesus. Yeah. And I think that's a daily thing. Because, you know, if you can laugh at yourself, you know, make mistakes, and get over it, you know. Don't let it bother you. I used to let it bother me when I had made mistakes, because, you know, I get this perfectionism thing, you know, I'm going to do it right every time, and then you flop and you fall and you get up. As long as you keep getting up, you're okay. If you lay in the puddle, it's not good. You know, you make a lot of bubbles, and you know, you look kind of dirty. And so it's not a good place to stay. So the thing is to get up. So now, the next phase we go into, have you received since you believed? The apostles used to go about this in Acts. They'd say, they would go to people, have you received since you believed? And people go, receive what? You know, the Holy Spirit. Wow, I know Jesus, I know Barnabas, but I don't know, who is this Holy Spirit? And so this was Acts 2:33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. So there's a promise that Jesus went to be with the Father, sit at the right hand of God, but he sent the Holy Spirit, another person of God, to be with us so we can receive. And there's exciting things to find out. Believing is, the definition is, accept as true or valid, experience, conform to. So now I have faith, but I'm going to start conforming to something. I got to conform to an image of God, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me do that, because my flesh doesn't want to do that. You know, we want to go out and party hardy and have fun and do other things. And so in Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So now, a broken heart, wow, you know, the brokenness of seeing Jesus die on the cross. I mean, I don't know if you've seen these movies that have been coming out, and they're hard to look at when they get reality-oriented. But then your heart breaks and you realize the love of God for you and what he did and how he suffered. And he was God. He could have called a legion of angels at any time like that and just stepped out of it. But he didn't. And he chose to die. So it's an awesome thing. So receiving the Holy Spirit is a supernatural thing. It's allowing the Spirit of God, who breathed life into me to begin with, to now be a resident in my house. This is a temple of God. He's now a resident. In John 7:38-39, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. So they're talking about a spiritual heart is in you, and I believe it's here. A lot of times, if anything, something happens to you in life, tragedy, trauma, anything, you feel it here. Kind of get hit in that gut, you know? And so here is your spiritual heart. So when the Holy Spirit comes out of your belly or your spiritual heart, comes rivers of living water. So I was like, whoa, this is something. You know, what is all that about? And so as I learned to step into being faithful, which is full of faith, I needed to experience the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God in me so that I could be faithful. Then I could do more for God. And this was something I was interested in. The supernatural aspects of this is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me, and he gives us a heavenly language. I started to speak in something that my brain didn't know what it was. Shindo basoto banana makarai. I started talking like that. You don't know what that means. Only God does, because my spirit's talking to God. And so it's a heavenly language. And it's something that comes with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that flows from my belly. And then, you know, when I first got it, and I think I got one or two words, and you know, it was small at first, but then we kept going to the altar, pressing in. And they said, press in for the fullness. And we kept getting refilled and refilled. And then a flow came. And then we could flow with our heavenly language. We could pray in the Spirit. And this was a new dimension to God. It was something new. I had received since I believed. And this was an awesome thing. The teacher at this time in my life was opening up a lot of this, was Pastor T.L. Lowry. And he was a pastor over the National Church of God. And he had Pastor Schombach. I don't know if you've ever heard of Schombach, but he has tent revivals all over the place. And he had a tent revival to start this church. And he also had Perry Stone, who had come, and he was an evangelist who specialized in baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Perry would minister at this church. And all kinds of people would come, and he had this anointing where people would just start speaking in tongues, and baptism of the Holy Spirit would just come upon them. He had an anointing for this. It was a real evangelistic anointing, and it was just amazing to see how full God can. So you come, and you know, he's saying, you know, come and receive all that God has for you. It's in here. The seed of the Spirit is in you when you believe, but you need to let the flow, let the rivers flow. So it was awesome to see that. And then at the same time, in that point in our life, Ann and I had started a business, a Denikid business. It was a franchise to make a little identification cards that for a parent, you know, you don't want to lose your daughter. So if for some reason she gets separated from you and you have this card, it has a picture, it has a thumbprint, it has all kinds of information, and you carry it in your wallet, you can take it out and say, this is my daughter, help me find her, because I don't know where she is, she got away from me. You know, and so we got into this business. But it became a prayer ministry because we were praying for these children. The Lord says, you're printing something on a piece of paper and you're putting it into the wallets of the parents. So we had known about prayer cloths and the concept of prayer cloths from the Bible. And so the Lord says, pray over these cards and pray for the children and pray for their families. So we were starting to pray for everything we did with this business. We prayed for over 600 children and their families as we released these cards. And we were putting prayer cloths in these people's wallets. They didn't know it. So they were getting a blessing. And we were interceding. God was giving us gifts of knowledge. And we were breaking things off of people and just breaking, you know, evil influences off of people's lives. It was a real time of prayer. And so that was interesting that this whole gifting of the Holy Spirit and the things that start happening, it opened up a new dimension to our life. And so we're very excited about receiving since we believed. Now we go into another phase because the Lord says, come, follow me. And when he says that, we're going to find out a little bit more what he means. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Like, oh yeah, these guys were fishing for fish, but now it's like, we're going to fish for men. What kind of net are we going to throw to catch men? You know, and they didn't understand. It's the gospel. It's the word of God coming right out of Jesus' mouth. And here they are with the living God, and they started to recognize him, and it was awesome. So here we're learning to surrender. This is relinquish to the power of another, yield to, resign to. So we're going to resign ourselves to yield to the power of God that is before us and let us go and follow him. Now, in Matthew 4:21 and 22, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So he's saying, come follow me. It's like they put down their life. I mean, here they are, grown up in a fishing village. They learn to become fishers. They're leaving their father, their family, their friends, and just follow him. Just walk with Jesus. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what's gonna happen. They just follow them. They surrendered to the Lord in obedience to his call to come and be with me, the living God who's walking here on the earth. And they did that. And that was an awesome thing. This power that the Lord had was called a dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit that he received, and it's kind of like a TNT power. You know, if you take dynamite, once you ignite it, a big explosion occurs. So with the Holy Spirit coming into you and the anointing of God coming upon you and you yielding and surrendering into it, something starts to happen inside of you that changes your life, and then you're willing to follow God. It's like, doesn't matter what the world thinks, doesn't matter what I have to give up or what I need to surrender, I can follow the Lord. I can yield myself to him. In Acts 1:8-9, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So now we get this boldness that comes upon us, which is supernatural, and we're able to give our witness. I've seen Jesus, what he's done. He prays and the cripple walk, the deaf hear, the, you know, he's seen the blind eyes open. I mean, they're giving a witness to what the Lord has done, the miracles, signs, and wonders that follows him, this power that is working in him. So this boldness is something we need. We need boldness to step out of our comfort zone and say, okay, Lord says, go over to this place called Virginia Beach. And I had to leave everything, my church and all the friends that we've developed over 30 years. We had to step out of all that and come here. And this is a new place with new people and new things. And it takes a lot of boldness to do this. But with God, we have the power to overcome everything that we need to come here and do this. Because we know that there's going to be an explosion of something. Something good is going to happen if we do what God calls you to do. And that's what we want to do. We want to, wow, you know, that we're going to anticipate that explosion of goodness in our life that's going to happen. And there's some trials and tribulations along the way. It's fire. You know, it takes fire to get the gunpowder to blow up. So you have a little fire in your life. We'll be talking about that too. The teachers in our life at this point were Pastors Pat and Patty McInerney. This was a couple that came and showed up at a church as an outside ministry and said they wanted to do some healing ministry in the church. And the church says, fine, you can have meetings here as long as you want. They didn't have a specific healing ministry at that time. They had counseling, but not healing. And so we stepped into, oh, wow, healing ministry. We were there at this church, and so we started attending these meetings, and we started to see the power of God, the creative miracles, signs of wonders following these people. And like, whoa, what is this all about? And so we stayed with them for a year, and in that year we were with them, we understood that they were ministering the dunamis power of the Word of God. The Word of God was in them. They soaked in the Word of God. They spoke the Word of God. They prayed the Word of God. They laid hands with the Word of God. They spoke in agreement with God. And then God shows up and does something and touches the people. They're not doing anything. They're just bringing the Word of God, and so the power can be applied to those people. And then we saw miracles. And we started following along with what they did, and they started training us. Next thing you know, we're laying hands, and I'm watching people get healed. People coming back and saying, you know that breast cancer I had that you prayed for? I went to the doctor. They can't find anything. I'm going like, you're kidding. I prayed, and your breast cancer's gone. I was like, that's got to be God. But I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. It's a little on me, you know. But a little on me can do things because God shows up. He's the one who's doing it. But it's awesome to see. You lay hands, and something happens. You speak the Word of God, you speak in agreement with God's Word, and you speak with faith and boldness, and something happens. And it's awesome so we got really involved in this. And then Pat and Patty got to the point where they're like, oh, we got to go travel back to Spokane, Washington on a trip, and we have a meeting scheduled, so how about you and Ann run that meeting? And we're like, run a meeting? Without you being here. And I had to believe that God was going to show up at this meeting, and I'm going to give a word that's going to allow God to show up. And I was like, whew. That was a comfort belt taker off. You know, it's like, okay, step out. And Ann and I, we did that, and God showed up. I mean, God showed up. He was faithful. I was faithful. God was faithful. He showed up at the meeting, and when by the time I'm praying, I'm sweating the bullets, and people are falling down and being healed all over the place. And, wow, look at this. What God can do without Pat and Patty, he can do with me. I it was hard to me to believe this. You know, I was like, phew. It was awesome. So we started stepping out into some things, and it was real powerful. Now we go to another phase. You know, you think, okay, wow, I reached this level. This is great. You know, and then God said, no, there's more. We want to learn from the Master, who is Jesus Christ, and we want to learn to submit to him. Now, submit means yield to the control of another, obey, comply, do what one is told. Wow, I was like, man, this sounds like when I was a kid, I was told, don't do this, do this. You know? And if not, you know, You know, the wrath of mom, you know, dad, you know. The only place in my house was safe was a bathroom that had a deadbolt on the inside. If you made it to the bathroom, sanctuary! And if you stayed there long enough, they cooled down, you didn't get your spanking. You know? The thing is, it was the only bathroom in the house. You know? So people started banging on the door. So I'm going to say, okay, Lord, submit to you. Now I'm submitting to a spirit, a God who is in me, and I've seen his power, but now he wants to submit. And so I'm going to like, okay, what is this, Lord? This is listening and obeying to what the Father is doing in heaven. So Jesus modeled this. He says in John 5, 19 and 20, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. See, it's Jesus with the disciples. He's saying, I'm not doing anything new. I'm just doing what God the Father is telling me to do, and I'm following him. He always prayed, and then he would do things. And they're like, whoa. He submitted to the Father, and then we're to submit to him, who's Jesus the Son. And then now we submit to the Holy Spirit, who is with us, because Jesus is up in heaven. So this is submission. We're called to listen and obey to Jesus, who sent the Holy Spirit to be with us after he ascended into heaven. So this is learning to be teachable. We have to submit, obey, comply, do what you're told. Don't do what you think you want to do. You got to do what you're told to do. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, when you're prophesying, you got to learn to stop when God stops. Mm-hmm. You can keep talking, but that's flesh. And you can say some weird things and some funny things, and people will go, that's not God. And you scratch that out. You know? You know? I've done it, you know, write it out and go, oh, here's God and there's me. And then I gotta start crossing other stuff out. You know? So, Acts 1, 8 through 10. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, and he was out of their sight. And that had to be an awesome thing. I mean, they've been in a locked room, and Jesus shows up. It's like, whoa! You know, and he would say, peace, be still, be quiet, calm down. But, you know, you're in a locked room, and somebody's there. I mean, in bodily form, and he's eating with them and talking to them. Now they're standing there, and he's rising up into the clouds. I mean, you know, you're supposed to, gravity, you know, remember gravity? He's rising up into the clouds and he disappears out, you know, watching him. This is a supernatural event. And he's telling him, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit, go tarry. You're going to receive dunamis power. You're going to do more than I did. And like, wow, more than he did? You got to be kidding. But they had to go get it. This didn't happen instantly, you know. They had to go wait. In fact, one guy fell out the window and died, and they had to go lay on and bring him back to life so he can come back in the meeting and receive. You know? So don't die in them, you know? Watch where you're going. Careful how you drive. So with all this power and all this Holy Spirit stuff comes this power and healing and signs and wonders are following the word of God, and they're released at specific times. I mean, Jesus, there was times Jesus went off into the mountains to be alone with the Father and to listen. He listened. Then he would go out and he would heal those who came in faith. It didn't say he went out to find everybody who needed the healing. He called. People came to him. All who came got healed. Yes. So you have to come to Jesus, and you're asking. Knock, ask, receive, you know. It's one of these principles of God. You need to come, and then he heals you, and you can receive. So the apostles were learning about all this. And it's God's timing. There's times you can pray all you want. If God's not going to do anything, he's not going to do anything. And there may be some issues in that person's life. Why? They have doubt and unbelief. There's something that's going on. They may not receive it when a healing. They may not want it. Some people are like, they're pushed up into the prayer line, you know. There's somebody behind them, kind of like this, you know. And they're like, okay, pray right there. You know, it's a refrigerator. You got a refrigerator, and you're praying, and all the heat's going to the outside. You know, nothing's happening on the inside. Because they're just rebelling and resisting. You can't heal a refrigerator. I've learned that. I prayed a long time for refrigerators. Nothing happened. Refrigerators stay cold. They want to be. So I stopped doing that. Anyway. The teachers that came into my life at this point were Pastors Thomas and Phyllis Ronicky. We were in a large church, and after the healing ministry people left, they had other plans for how they were going to do healing, and it didn't involve us. So we said, fine. So we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And he says, go over to this small church over here. So we went from a church of 2,000 to a church of 25. That's a shock. and small churches are where powerful things happen, too. So we saw God there, and we wanted to be there because the presence of God was there in the meeting. And they had a school of the Holy Spirit on Friday nights, and they were teaching prophecy and apostolic. They were releasing people into their ministry and say, oh, well, this is a good place to serve. And then we decided this is what we're going to do. And they had this apostolic ministry of releasing people into what you wanted to do. And so now God has a sense of humor. At this point, we're praying, should we have a ministry of ourselves? Because we're thinking healing. You know, we just had been through a healing time, learning healing ministry. And God says, no, I'm really calling you to be youth pastors. And I'm like, what? Youth pastors are those young people that come out of Bible school that, you know, are all full of zeal. And, you know, see the gray hair? You know, I got gray hair. And he says, no, you're a spiritual father. And there's some young boys who need a spiritual father. I want you to be the spiritual father and mother to them. So I'm calling you into youth ministry. So I establish a ministry that's a youth ministry. And then we go to this church, and they're like, oh, wow, we would really like to have the youth taught what we're teaching. We don't have any way to teach prophecy and healing and whatever to the youth. We just don't have any enough people or whatever to do that in the school of the Holy Spirit. So we got released into youth ministry. And next thing you know, these youth are showing up. Now, a few girls would come, but they never stay, and these guys were there. So we had young boys, which was prophesied to us, that we would minister to. And we kept ministering to these young boys, and they grew in the things of the Lord. They learned to lay hands and see God heal. They learned to hear God. They learned to understand that God is talking, and they can write it down. They can speak it. They were just amazed. Wow, God's saying these good things about me? I'm just a kid in the city who doesn't have a life or doesn't even have a future. But God says, you're important. And there is a future for you, spiritually. And there's a plan for your life. And so that was exciting to them. And so God had to step into that. And then I also got into intercessory prayer. This is where I learned this pastor had an intercessory prayer time. And I got into learning how to do it. I was like, I didn't know what that was all about. But when I got into the meeting, I found out. And you're pressing through. And we learned to pray against thrones of iniquity, which is like corporate sin through agreement in any area, forms a band of darkness that blocks the glory of God for the people that are in this area. So the apostle at the time, Pastor Thomas, had authority over Baltimore and that church, and he felt Maryland. And so we were praying against these thrones of iniquity, and we started doing it for our church members, for the leadership, for the family members of the church, and then for this region. And we started to see change. Family people, I mean, he had a relative himself. It was a very hardened heart. And then they wanted to know about the Lord all of a sudden. They started asking him. They started bringing up God. And it's like, whoa, what's this stony-hearted person? That's my relative, you know? And they're talking, want to talk about God. So this was a change. We saw relatives shifting, and there was a lot of change going on. And so we learned through intercession that you can break things over people, and then the glory of God can come and touch them, and then they can change, and they can be transformed, just like we were. So this was an exciting time for us. Another realm of submitting to a leader and letting God show us, submitting to a ministry that's not ours. I mean, that's one thing I had to find out. You don't own your ministry. It's God's, and then you're privileged to manage it for him. And you got to make sure you're hearing what he wants to do with it, not you what you want to do with it. And when you collect the money, it's not your money. You don't want to put the money in your pocket. It's his money. So if you got God's money in your hand, you got to be accountable to God for it and to the IRS. Some people fear both very much. I don't fear the IRS as much, but I fear God. So we learned to do that. And then God says, okay, now you got to put all that down and come down here. And now we're looking to see what God's going to do with us down here. And there's a whole new realm of the supernatural. And that's where it seems to be this last step. Because God says, go into all the world with power and multiply. You know, don't just be a sponge and soak it up for yourself, but learn to help others to learn about the things of God and help them to get interested in the supernatural and help others to want to get hungry and thirsty and look for more. So I got to start getting other-oriented. Not just me, 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 bless me, give me a word, give me a word. I got one to give a word. And it's like, it's a little harder, you know, and you got to work on it. But you hear, and then you speak, and then you start to see why you bless people. And they just tell you it actually means something to them. I mean, it's amazing. So in Mark 16, 15 through 20, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in me. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So here's clearly in the scripture, we're supposed to have signs and wonders following us if we're preaching and teaching and following the word of God and doing what God wants us to do. Something should be going on around you. And we're calling it the glory zone, you know. The glory zone is in you. It's God in you. But if you release it out of you, there's a timeless, anything can happen because God's in the house and it should be around you. So wherever we go, we should be bringing that presence of God with us and influencing your workplace, your marketplace, wherever you are, you know. And then these signs and wonders. I mean, we're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I've learned to understand that for a long time, we were preaching salvation only. I mean, not that saving souls isn't important, but we're just like, okay, you're saved, and they would move on. And what about the discipling? And what about have you received since you believe? And what about the power of the Holy Spirit? And they just kind of move on. And they would. And then some churches were actually in the doubt and unbelief saying, oh, well, that was that day, and that's not today. You mean Acts isn't for me? I mean, where does it say that? It doesn't say Acts was for them only. You know, and so there's a lot of denial of the power of God. So the kingdom of God comes with everything. And those who believe, the signs follow them. So in the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. Now, the first time I really had a confrontation with a demon was with Pat and Patty Mack, and I were praying in another church, and this guy comes up, and he says he's addicted to heroin, so I know I got a demon of addiction in this guy because he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's destroying my life. And so I start praying, and there's a demon looking back at me through this guy's eyes. I mean, I saw demonized eyes, and I'm going like, whoa, Pat, come over here. I need help. Look at this. And he goes, oh, yeah, get out, you know, in the name of Jesus. And just take authority, and the guy falls down, and it's gone, and he's sitting, and it's like delivered. And it's like, wow, authority, knowing who you are in Christ, and that this demon is nothing but a, you know, he's really a little bug, you know. They're small, but we inflate them with fear. And inflate them with, oh my goodness, what can they do to me? They can't do anything to you. You have the Holy Ghost inside of you. You speak in the heavenly tongue. You have the power of God, dunamis power in you. You just blow up at them and tell them who they are and get out of here and go into the dark pit and back to where you belong. And they, whoa, 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 and they go away. But you have to know who you are in Christ to do that. And I learned from Pat, wow, I can do that. And then it's like Jesus says, don't worry about the demons that are listening to you. Know that your name is written in the book of God and that you're going to heaven. Your salvation and what you are and who you are in Christ is more important than the demons listening to you. But you have authority over them. Then you lose your fear over these things. Then you realize this is like, you know, pesty bugs and birds that are bothering you. Like in the summer, you know, a lot of people like screen porches because the bugs and the birds don't bother you. You know, you get a little roof over your head so you don't get, you know, and something's crawling on my leg. You know, it's like creepy stuff, you know. But that's how demons are. They can be creepy, but you have authority. And, you know, once you learn to step on them, you know, that's it. They're gone. Some people write scriptures on the bottom of their feet so they have something to read while you're stepping on it. Read this in the name of Jesus. Yeah, take authority. So this is supernatural stuff. We were singing about refiner's fire tonight. You know, burn up in me, you know, the things that are my flesh and the things that aren't of God. We want to get it burned up so that we're not anything but what God wants us to be. That's a goal. And we probably don't reach it till we get to heaven, but we're on that way. And so we keep doing that, refiner's fire, and up comes the impurities. And I've had stuff boil up in me, and when it's right here, it gets ugly. You know, and we know when you get into counseling ministry and you start casting this stuff out, you know, you know how people feel very irritated when they know there's something ready to go, but it isn't gone yet. And that's when you need counseling. That's when you need help. Please help me get rid of whatever this is that's coming from deep down in me. And, you know, we have harm and offense and abuse and all these different things, whatever happened to us. We have to clear all that. Just get that clear so that you're right with God. And that's what the refiner's fire is all about. Just praying, just boiling it out. So we believe in the kingdom of God. We have the supernatural signs that are following us. And we can do all these things. We're speaking in tongues, handle snakes, poison doesn't bother you. You lay hands on the sick and they're healed. I mean, some people say, oh, what's this poison thing, you know, and snake thing? Well, I don't know if you have to necessarily go out and handle snakes. So our church, they started getting into, let's handle snakes and prove that, you know, and let them bite us and see if we don't die. I was like, I think you're taking this a little far. You know, you're crossing the line here. You don't even have to do that to prove that. It's just if we happen to come into danger, we're protected. God isn't going to let us, when we're doing the things of God, come into harm's way. I mean, Reinhard Bonnke, he has a heart for Africa, and he goes out. His prayer people pray 2 weeks before they go to the village. And when they get to the village, they're still praying. And one story from them is they were praying in the village, and then the Lord says, walk the streets. So they go out and walk the streets, and this is a village where voodoo and mind control was in effect over the whole region. They were in a very dark place, and they were bringing the light of God. And these people would come out, and they would go, ah, they would fall down, and they were acting like they were blinded, and they were cowering, and these people were like, what is it? The light is blinding, you know, and then they would start confessing their sins, and they would repent, and then they say, what can we do to receive Jesus? And they would receive Jesus, and this darkness would come off of their minds, and they go, whoa. You know, they like wake up out of a mind control stupor and realize that they're changed. And this started happening in these villages, and next thing you know, they had to confront the voodoo people. I mean, the chiefs. And so there's one guy that was an indigenous person there. He felt bold enough, I'm going to go, and the power of God, what says in Acts, go, and let's confront these guys. So he goes to confront the voodoo chiefs of this region. I mean, these are the guys that are casting the spell, they're putting the mind control on these people. And he goes, my God is more powerful than everything you have. They go, okay, sit by this big pit, and we'll see you tomorrow. And here's a drink. So they're heading in poison, and they're putting him by a pit that there's a viper in there that's like this huge snake that comes out and squishes people, sucks them in the hole, and eats them up. And everybody they put by the pit, by the next day, they're gone. You know, they find his bones in the bottom. They come back the next day, he's sitting there. And they're like, whoa. The poison didn't poison him, and what happened to the viper, you know? He didn't come out tonight, you know? So they started to do all kinds of things to this guy, and they couldn't kill him. They couldn't do anything to him. And he just stood up at one point and says, "Enough! Now, in the name of Jesus, I command these demons that are controlling you to be released in Jesus' name." And he started casting the demons out of these guys, and stuff starts coming off of them, and one of the chief comes out of it and realizes he needs to get saved. And what he's been under was demonic control. And he gets saved. One chief gets saved. Next thing you know, another one. He got the voodoo chiefs converted to the gospel, through the gospel and power of the word of God, to Jesus Christ. And then when they did that, it was like all the mind control in that region that they controlled, bam, was broken. And people were in villages kind of like, whoa, like all of a sudden darkness came off of them. Because the chiefs gave their lives to Jesus, and their control was gone. So one man who received from Reinhard Bonnke broke the power of voodoo and mind control over our region. That's the power of the gospel of the Word of God. Now, he had that boldness to go, and you know, they're going to try and kill me, but, you know, the scripture says, handle snakes, protect it from poison. So he's taking the Word of God literally and say, they can't kill me. And he didn't. So this is true. And God, God's not calling me to do this. Yeah. I don't know if we have Edgar Casey here, right? We don't have voodoo chiefs, but there's Edgar Casey here. There's New Age. You go into an outlet store, and they want to, you know, do spirit readings, and, you know, it's all psychic stuff. So there's work to do around here. There's stuff. There's stuff over people's minds. They're believing in something else other than Jesus Christ. So we have some work to do. Now, the teachers that came to me at this time were many, because Ann and I were going up to meetings in Pennsylvania, and we were attending Randy Clark conferences. And Randy Clark received an anointing up at Toronto, and he had an anointing to impart anointing to others. That's what he received. So he started gathering people saying, God wants me to impart. And that you would receive, and then you would do the things of God. And I'm here to impart to you. And so he would take people to foreign countries and have these conferences. And so we had Bill Johnson from Redding, California, and Lance Walnow, Patricia King, coming to these meetings. And these are people that walk in this supernatural stuff. This is real to them. They believe it, and they have signs and wonders following them. And so we started to catch, wow. This stuff we can do, and there's much more we can do if we believe, receive, submit, you know, obey, and let God do something with us. So their whole thing was go out into the marketplace, but go out with power evangelism. If you got the power of God and you're in a glory zone and you walk up to somebody and they step into that glory zone, you just kind of see, well, what's God going to do with this one? And we're watching videos, and I'm showing the youth these videos, and I was like, this guy comes up, and you see he's drunk, you know, he's weaving around, and this lady, she's out with this evangelism team with power, and she's just speaking and saying, I see that you're having some problems, and in the name of Jesus, I pray this stupor off of you. And she starts praying for him and speaking against the influences of the alcohol, and this guy starts doing this, and you know, and all of a sudden he starts talking clearly. The stupor was leaving him. He was sobering up. And this is all like in a 5-minute time frame, this whole thing. And she starts talking to him and asking him questions. And he's real hurt and he's dejected. He's lost his family. You know, he's out in the streets and he's just drinking and his life is nowhere. And then she starts offering him the kingdom of God. And she's just praying with power and authority, just speaking to him. And praying, and he getting to see if he can agree with her and agree with God. And he comes to an agreement and actually agrees with her to receive the Lord, and he's sober by that point. In 5 minutes. I mean, people don't sober up in 5 minutes. I mean, this guy was like, oh, you know, staggering drunk. And in 5 minutes, he's receiving God. Now, that's power evangelism. And this is some girl, she's like about 18, 19, you know, out with the team. It's like, and she's like, whoa. You see that? They filmed me this. You're like, whoa. So we started to realize there's so much more we can do. with the power of God on our side and around us and working out of and through us, that's what we want. And so the Lord, I believe, is calling all of us now to step into the supernatural, to learn to help others realize there's much more than what you're in now. There's so much more. All we got to do is step into it and allow God to work through us and catch the fire and let the fire take out anything that's not of God and let God work through you. And so this was a powerful thing. Just recently we were watching the New Mystics Conference, and you know, they're saying mysticism is mainly Christian. And since the time the Lord has gone, there are people that have really gotten into the supernatural power of God, and they start levitating and they're transported to other cities. I mean, it's stuff that happened in Acts, and there's scriptural references to these things, because there's one apostle, I forget which one, was mentioning to the eunuch, and they said when he finished baptizing him, he's in another city. Well, that's teletransportation in our terms today. How did he just, he's over there. He's here and he's there. But that can happen with God. And so it's happening. The new mystics are saying, this has been documented. There's all kinds of things. Francis of Assisi, I mean, he used to float off the ground and stay there for an hour, sometimes a day, just with the power of God, because he's in the ecstasy, the love of God, and there's levels we can get to where the power can, and this is what Jesus was doing. He's walking on the water. He's just defying gravity. Just, it's not sinking in the water. In fact, there was another gentleman. They're in a village in some small island in Malaysia, and they read the gospel of God, and when they got filled with the Holy Spirit in their church, it came with the rushing wind and the tongues of flame. It was just like an axe. So they went, wow. And they're reading in Acts, and they're going, that's what happened here. So they had to go to another part, and there was no bridge across this one river, and they needed to get to the other side. It was really important for them to get to the other side. So they're reading, and Jesus walked on the water and called them out of the boat. So they just start walking on the water. And they walked over to the other side, and they said they never went below their knees. You know, they sunk in a little bit, but they just kept walking in the water, and they walked all the way across the river. And this river's, you know, deep. This is the kind of, you know, you're gone, you know. And they walked along the water. And then later on, some guy says, are you guys still crossing the water? He goes, oh, no, they built a bridge, so we take the bridge now. So, I mean, it's like, you know, we don't have to, you know, but if we need to, you can just do what God says because it says you can do it. So they stepped out of the boat. And it's like, wow, you know, we got to, it's just the faith of a mustard seed. You know, it's important. So we get down to the questions now. Are you fat? Faithful, available, teachable. Are you fat? Where are you in your adventure with God? I mean, where are the teachers in your life? Is somebody helping you, training you, teaching you, encouraging you to go along and take these next steps, to go and receive and walk in power? I mean, we need people to help us. I mean, that's what Donna's here for. She's helping us. And there's others here that are learning to help as well. And so we're just all encouraging one another. And this is what it's all about. Has God presented you with some teachers to help you along the way? Have you gotten stuck somewhere in your walk with God? You know, you can get stuck, but you got to get unstuck. You got to get your feet out of the quicksand and get pulled to the area. I mean, I've woken up in a swamp with the tether of God around me. Yes, Lord, I'm in the swamp. I'm drinking swamp water. What am I doing? And I have to get out of the swamp, get back to the river, get in the boat, and start going down with the Lord, following the currents of God. And we can wander off path and get into foolishness. I've been there. It's a lousy place. And we want to get back on track with God. Has your faith grown? Is your faith increasing? It should increase. We should be able to take it from the mustard seed and let it become a bush and let it become something to help others with. Are you making yourself available to the Lord? A lot of churches, they have what they call pew sitters. they want the 5 or 10% of the people that do all the work to do all the work. It's like, I have to get up and say, what can I do to help you? And make myself available and say, can I be used? Is there any talent or ability that I can do to help you guys to here to do something? And that's stepping out of your comfort zone and saying, I'm available. Then they're going to stretch you. They're going to say, oh, would you like to teach Sunday school? It's like, no, I hate kids, but I'll do it in God. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you learn to love kids. And you realize, you know, they're like you when you were little. You know? And maybe you weren't so nice as a kid, but you know, you can help them with Jesus. Are you open to learning some new things and willing to step out of your comfort zone? You got to step out of your comfort zone with God. I mean, that's what today was all about, right? You had people stretching, and you know, Ann says she was stretched today. Because she sees pictures, and now all of a sudden words and more words were coming, and all of a sudden she was prophesying with just words, no pictures. That's a miracle for her. But she got stretched, and she, wow, I can do it. I've been trying to tell all along, but today she learned she could do it. Thank you. That's a good thing. And same with me. I at first I started out with pictures, and then, you know, I had to learn to go further. God is calling us to be with him in heaven and pray in the glory zone with the power of God. We have the keys to heaven and earth, and we can do exploits for the king to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And that's what we need to do. So now I need everybody to stand up. We're going to declare and decree and close with us agreeing with this teaching. So I'd like you to get ready to decree. I'm going to say the words, and then you can repeat after me. I'm a righteous believer.
I'm a righteous believer.
In God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
In God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
Into my life.
Into my life.
And I'm full of faith.
And I'm full of faith.
I choose to follow Jesus.
I choose to follow Jesus.
And make myself available to him. I surrender myself fully.
I surrender myself fully
to the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit.
To the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit.
I submit myself to the Holy Spirit.
I submit myself to the Holy Spirit.
And choose to become more teachable in my spirit man.
And choose to become more teachable in my spirit man.
I will listen and obey.
I will listen and obey.
And learn to do things God's way.
And learn to do things God's way.
I will be more bold.
I will be more bold.
In declaring the kingdom of God.
In declaring the kingdom of God.
With signs, wonders, and miracles following.
With signs, wonders, and miracles following.
I am faithful.
I am faithful.
I am teachable.
I am teachable.
I am available.
I'm available.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm fat.
I'm fat.
It's a good thing to be.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Destiny Spirit Church or additional teaching CDs or training events, please visit our website at www.destinyspirit.com, or you can write to us at Destiny Spirit Church, P.O. Box 15252, Chesapeake, Virginia 23328. Thank you.